The following program is brought to you by Hanson McLean Advisors, and the views expressed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station.
Hi, this is Scott.
This is Pat.
I tell you, on our program today, we've got a son trying to help his widowed mother figure out the financial aspects now that dad's gone. Kind of a common thing, but it's an interesting call.
We also have a gentleman that wants to know whether he should change his withdrawal strategy from his IRAs based upon the new tax law. Interesting, interesting question.
And we have a call of the age-old, do I pay off my mortgage or not? So stick around for Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Providing guidance as you plan and transition into retirement for over two decades, here is Hanson McLean's Money Matters, featuring Scott Hanson and Pat McLean.
Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean. Thanks for joining us.
That's right. Both myself and my co-host here are both financial advisors, certified financial planner, chartered financial consultant. We spend our weekdays meeting with people like yourself, come here on the weekends to be your financial advisors on the air. And before you turn the channel and say, well, financial show,
not another one,
stick with us for a bit. We've been doing this program for over 20 years, and it's not quite like a lot of the other financial programs out there.
We hope not. We take a lot of calls. We talk with people. It's real life. It's not the theoretical, where's the Dow? Where's the S&P? What do you think about Bitcoin?
We do a little bit of that. A
little bit, but it's not all that.
We don't tell you, you do these three things, you're going to be wealthy overnight.
No.
Come to this come to this seminar and this learn how to trade, and you're going to trade yourself to riches.
Yeah, actually, if that three things to be rich overnight really worked,
then no one would need to go on the radio.
I was kidding. correct.
The four secrets in the Bible that teach you how to become a billionaire, or the Quran. I mean, it's some of these things that really get out there. Anyway, that's not the kind of program we are. And both myself and my co-host, we are principals in a fiduciary financial advisory firm. That just means fee-based financial advisory firm. And interesting, there's an organization that's trying to push for brokers to no longer call themselves financial advisors. Because stockbrokers at the big Wall Street firms,
they are
partly there to help sell the inventory.
The products of the manufacturers of the firms.
Yeah, or the ones that they are underwriting.
You know, and it's interesting. It is interesting that that is an antiquated model nowadays. And these big firms actually worry. They worry about where that business is going, because they used to make oodles and oodles and oodles of money by going out there and issuing stock. So General Motors needed to raise some money, some either bonds or equity stock, and they would actually hire these big firms and they'd go out and sell it. Well,
yeah, they would hire the Merrill Lynch's, et cetera.
But more and more companies actually don't need those firms, because they could directly reach into the investor. They could go right to the investor. So if you look at these big firms, they're worried about it. They're worried.
Well, look, I think it's Spotify, so the one that's coming out next, right? It's doing this underwriting light, and so the bankers are going to get paid pennies what they normally would do.
And it only takes three or four successful ones of those before the model was done.
And they're not relying upon the Merrill Lynch's and the Morgan Stanley's to use their team of brokers to sell them.
Correct.
Yeah.
And the brokers realize that, too. So there's a big flight of the brokers leaving Merrill Lynch's and Morgan Stanley's.
Yeah, because there's less value for them to hang out there.
Yes. Yeah.
But in any case,
we're not those people. What we do is we're actually financial planning based.
Well, and we are not tied to, we have no other agenda than serving our clients.
But really, we do like taking your calls.
Yeah. And if you want to join us, 1-888-2 Hanson is the number. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. Numerically, 1-888-242-6766. And let's start with cold Minnesota. Talk to Mary Jo. Mary Jo, you're with Hanson McLean.
Oh, hello. And thank you so much for taking my call this morning.
Thank you.
I actually got in touch with you because I saw your post on January 12th titled Baby Boomers Are Rewriting Retirement History. And then I downloaded your seven personal decision points in retirement. And those things that you brought up in both of those pieces reflect what you were just talking about. People who have assets, people who have means, who are looking ahead to retirement. As you said in your post, retirement is different now, and what I'm interested in is the fact that, for example, in Minnesota, and I'm going to say it, Minnesota, because that's how we talk sometimes. Yes. Sorry. I realize as I said that.
That's okay. That's all right.
The scoop is that we have a workforce shortage, kind of a big one.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest part of that workforce shortage is in folks under the age of 55.
Okay.
And what's interesting, I just came from a position where I worked in a college, and all of the career pathway and career development resources were dedicated to people between the ages of 18 and 24. And yet the growth in the workforce is over 55. There's nothing out there for over 55 people, and that's where the need is for both the workers and also for the worker shortage and also for the workers themselves. So my question to you was, do you know of any programs that are or any activity nationally that's providing a systematic approach to career exploration for older workers?
That is a great question, and the caveat there is the word national.
Well, there are, you know, it's interesting, Mary Jo. Here, Hanson McLean, we've certainly noticed even our own client base. We've been helping people transfer into retirement for 25 years, and it's changed for a lot of people. 70% of baby boomers say they want to continue some sort of employment post-retirement age.
Mm-hmm. And people don't necessarily want to retire. They don't want to necessarily leave the workforce. What they want is more control over their time in their life. So mm-hmm. what we see clients will do oftentimes is they'll leave a large corporation and then they'll go back and do gig. And when we say gig, it's not like you hear this gig economy where you are driving Uber. They'll go back and do a 6-month contract, or they'll take on a project and work at their own pace on it. Or I had a number of clients that worked in utilities at some higher level, that they were inspectors or whatever, that would actually live in a motorhome and drive around the country and spend 4 months at this place and 5 months at this place or 6 months at this place and then move to the next place. So,
but to your point, Mary Jo, if we look at college enrollment, the fastest growing segment is those over 55 right now, going back to school,
mm-hmm.
both in person mm-hmm. and online. And there's a lot of online college resources dedicated just to that workforce. But as far as, you know,
but we have on our, Scott, when we did The Art of Retirement, we do a educational workshop called The Art of Retirement, which is we talk a little bit, we talk about money because that's why people come to us. Right, is money. They want to know if they can retire. Do they have enough money to retire and how to invest it? But at the same time, we have built this depository of information regarding things around the money and the financial. And we have this workshop called The Art of Retirement. If you go to our website, you can actually view the workshop called The Art of Retirement. And inside that workshop, it lists a number of different resources where you can actually go out and do short-term and long-term gig economy work. And we actually are adding to that resource on a regular basis.
Yeah. Actually, if you go to Hanson McLean, our website, to our learning library, in there, we've got a number of things. And one, you can find that resource, which will highlight that. But, it's interesting, Mary Jo. I think there's tremendous opportunity in the future. I mean, if someone wants to start a business to help people in career and focused on that age group, clearly, there's a lot of people that still say, hey, I've saved hard, I've worked hard, I want to fully retire. Totally respect that. And at Hanson McLean, we certainly help a lot of people with that. But we also have a number of clients right where you are, Mary Jo. And unfortunately, there's still a large portion of the population that just, for whatever reason, finds themselves at retirement with not nearly enough money. And work is still an obligation and not a choice for them. And here, of course, at Hanson McLean, we like to help people with our planning so that work becomes an option and not an obligation as they get to this point in life. 1-888-2-HANSON to be part of Hanson McLean's Money Matters. 1-888-2-HANSON. And we're in the Denver region with Susan. Susan, you're with Hanson McLean.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call.
Hi, Susan. Thanks for joining us.
I retired at the end of 2016, and the last couple years prior to my retirement, I funneled money over into a money market account. And, you know, the interest rate is pitifully low.
Yes,
I'm sure you're aware.
You almost felt like you're going to have to write them a check just for the privilege of keeping your money there.
Yes. At any rate, I am a homeowner, and I have, you know, a mortgage, and I have enough money in that money market account to pay off my mortgage and still have about $25,000 left.
Okay.
How much and, do you owe on that home?
Not quite. It's right around $64,000.
And what's your mortgage payment?
$680.
Is that including taxes and insurance or just...
It is. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if we back that out, away about $500 a month or so for, you know?
That's probably about
somewhere in there. Probably about $500 a month.
It, which is your principal and interest. Can we ask a couple more questions?
Sure.
How old are you?
I just turned 71 in November.
Married?
No, I'm single.
Okay. And what sources of income do you have?
Okay. Social Security and a monthly annuity.
And how much is your monthly? It's a monthly pension, correct?
It is.
Okay. And what's the combination of those two numbers together?
About $2,700.
And are you living comfortably on $2,700 a month, or do you find you're spending that money market or any IRAs down?
No, I am very comfortable on that. I have no other debt other than my home.
So let me ask you this, Susan.
Do you, how much money, do you have any money in IRAs or 401ks or anything like that?
I have another 401k, which I need, you know, had to start taking a minimum distribution on.
Mm-hmm. And how much is that? How big is that?
I think it's right around $170,000.
You've done well. Yeah, you've done well. You've done well.
So let me ask you this question. If you came to a financial advisor or called our program today, Susan, and your home was paid off, and we said, you know what, Susan, at 71, why don't you go ahead and take a $64,000 mortgage out of your house so you have some money to go invest somewhere, what would you think?
I don't know, because I'm just a very, very conservative person.
Exactly. You would think, I'm going to get away from this financial advisor, because why would I take money out of my house and invest it if my goal is to maintain my lifestyle and be conservative with my dollars?
Yeah, definitely pay this off. And you're not getting a tax benefit from it anymore.
Not any.
No.
Pay it off.
Standard deduction.
Pay it off as soon as you possibly can.
Yeah, I'd pay it off Monday morning.
And then the remaining dollars, I assume you have this in a local bank, the money market. Go ahead online and if you go to bankrate.com, they have the listings of the highest yielding money markets in the U.S. And there's
Let me step back. That's only if she's comfortable with.
I was going to get there.
Okay. She's going to have $25,000 left in a money market account, whether she's banked at a local bank that she's had a relationship with for the last 38 years, interest rate low, or she finds some online bank and moves $15,000, it's going to have zero difference in her lifestyle. No difference whatsoever.
I get that.
And if it's an increase in anxiety of any sorts, then it's not worth the hassle.
All right, well, so much for my opinion.
And I do have a couple of CDs as well.
Oh, how much do you have in the CDs?
Not much, probably between three of them. I think I probably have $30,000.
You've done well. How's your IRA invested? Is that in money markets as well?
I don't have an IRA.
No, your 401k.
You know, I came from a university and I went through their retirement system. So it's spread out in a very conservative fashion. Couldn't tell you offhand.
All right. You should probably look at that. And if you're comfortable and you want a higher rate of return on your cash assets, your money markets, consider going to an online bank. Is that all right, Scott?
Yes, mm-hmm. You can probably earn.
But if it makes you nervous at all, as Scott pointed out, don't. Appreciate the call.
Pay that off, calling, Susan.
Pay it off Monday morning.
Yeah,
pay it off as quickly as you possibly can.
Okay, and then what I plan to do is the money that I was paying on my mortgage, just put it right back.
No. Spend it. Spend it. Spend it. No,
all
I'm
right,
serious.
Thank you.
Bring your friends or grandkids out to. Or your children out to dinner, spend it.
I totally agree with Pat, because here's the you have enough income to meet your needs today, not counting what you've got saved in your 401k and in your CDs.
You and the equity in your home. Spend it.
You're 71.
You're 71.
You'll probably be around a long time still, but look, if you're not drawing down in your savings, why not spend at least all the guaranteed income that's coming in each month?
Well, that's one way to look at it.
Well, here's Well, and we're not going to here to tell people how to spend their money.
Well,
but
no.
Anyway, hey, Susan, I appreciate your call. And Pat, it reminds me years ago, I had clients, this was 20-some years ago. I was still relatively newer financial advisor.
Yeah, big old head of hair.
I
then.
Did. It was beautiful. It was nice. It really was nice.
You still look at those pictures. You have pictures of yourself. With
of course, I had a picture back then. I had a hair back then.
You have a picture of yourself on your desk.
Quite a large one.
Okay.
And over my bed.
Not you and your wife, just you.
Just me. Well, you can tell there might be someone next, but I say, honey, you better, you want your face there forever.
They're not taken together in two separate pictures.
All right,
think we're funny.
My point, a couple came in, they had a lot of money saved in their retirement accounts. All they lived on were their Social Security. And they've been clients for a couple of years, and they weren't spending anything, and it just kept accumulating more and more, and there were some health issues there as well. And I would kind of encourage them, I mean, why don't you spend some of this, do something with it. And so one time this gentleman comes in, and I said, where's your wife? And he said, well, that's what I want to talk to you about. She feels that every time she comes in, you call her a cheapskate.
Because you're encouraging them to spend money.
Yes. And
spending money probably made them uncomfortable.
Correct.
They were probably happier not spending.
Yeah, absolutely. That's how and so I learned a good lesson at that time, not to tell people how they should live their life. But the challenge is, people who do a good job saving and get to retirement with lots of money, it's typically this discipline they've had of saving. And when we get to retirement, if we've done a great job and have plenty of assets,
it's hard to change that behavior.
And we no longer need to save.
Yes.
The future's now, right? So that's the balance.
It's hard. It's hard to change that behavior.
I mean, so it's interesting. Our team of financial advisors at Hanson McLean, when we talk with clients, we try to talk about, you know, what you save these dollars. What's the point of it now? Maybe I've done a little better job than saying, why don't you go spend some?
Yeah, but you can't say, you know, it wouldn't hurt you to do this.
Or what are some things, are there any things in your life that you've been holding back on?
But quite frankly, when we told Susan to spend the $500 a month, all we know about her is that she lives somewhere in Colorado. She's probably never going to see us again unless she comes as a seasoned advisor.
So who cares? Is that what your point is? I don't care what she thinks of me.
All right. She asked, first of all, she called and asked for our opinion.
She did. All right. This is Hanson McLean's Money Matters, 1-888-2-HANSON to join Hanson McLean. Let's go to Elk Grove, California with John. John, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hey, good morning, guys. I appreciate you taking my call.
Our pleasure, John.
So I'm calling, I'm helping my mom out. She's 65 years old. She's widowed. She owns her own home and a rental property that she's owned them for over 30 years. So she pays minimal property taxes. She was a stay at home mom. She worked part-time jobs growing up, but nothing, no career, nothing serious.
Okay.
Her income is, she's getting $1,600 a month in survivor's benefits when my dad passed away. And
is that a pension or Social Security, the $1,600?
Social Security. It's a survivor's benefit.
Got it. Okay.
Social Security told us that it would never really be worth it to go on hers because she didn't earn that much money.
Yep.
And then she's getting about $1,000 a month in rental income. She has no debt. She owns her car and obviously her house. So her bills are minimal, and she lives a pretty frugal lifestyle.
John, are both the house and the rental property paid off in full?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Her primary house is probably worth conservatively about $400,000, and the rental it's $200,000.
Okay.
She has $300,000 in an IRA, and I know how some people feel about annuities, but it is what it is at this point. It's divided into two different annuities. The surrender period's over with, so she could pull the money out anytime she wants without any penalties or surrender charges.
Mm-hmm.
And she has a guaranteed fixed rate of 3%.
Okay.
She asked about a year and a half ago. She was asking for my advice if she should put it in the stock market. I kind of pushed her towards no. I regret that, but it is what it is at this point.
Oh, come on. Okay. You wouldn't have regretted if it went down and she was calling you every morning.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So her and I were talking, and she was thinking about using some of that $300,000 and putting it into the stock market for long term, because I keep thinking 3% is not very much. It's just inflation, right? That's just beating inflation. So I just wanted to get your opinion on what you guys thought.
So, first of all, this is your mother, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
I wouldn't be so. It's a so over the next 25 years, I'm fairly confident that she would earn more by being invested in the broad stock market than she would be by having this money in at this 3% in this fixed annuity. The challenge is, it's impossible to know what the next year or 5 years are ever going to look like. Now, if she could be comfortable, if you could say, let's take some dollar, $50,000, $100,000, some portion of it, let's allocate it to that future, let's not worry about it. Because the next time there's a downturn, we're going to hear all kinds of bad news, and it's going to, like, it's different now. You need to get your money out now before it goes to zero, all that, because that's what happens. And if we think back to the financial crisis, that was what everyone was stating at that time as well.
John, how old are you?
I'm 43.
And do you have an experience investing?
No, not really. I mean, I understand the basics of it, but, you know, I've I believe in dollar cost averaging. I understand about diversity. I understand that, you know, one of the things that I've told her was if she could think of the number of amount of money of that $300,000 that she wants to invest for long term and think 10, 15, 20 years out that she won't be able to
But the question,
touch it.
Here's what I ask. Here's what I would, I'm just thinking, if this was my mother, how would I address this? I'd be thinking, well,
What's the upside? What's the downside?
Yes. Is she going to be comfortable? And what's the upside? What's the downside? As far as inflation head, she's got the rental house, right?
And she's living comfortably on her current income.
Yes.
I think if it were my mother, I don't think I would.
You know what, Scott? It depends on John's relationship with his mother.
And
I got to tell you.
Yeah, that's true.
This is where it ends up. Because what happens is you'll come and see. Let's say you and your mother come and see us, right? An advisor at Hanson McLean. The advisor's going to look at this and say, yeah, I'll tell you what our recommendation would probably be. It would probably be maybe leave $200,000 in that guaranteed 3%.
That's pretty good. Use that as your bond portion.
And take $100,000 and invest it in, you know, a relatively, you know, maybe a growth and income portfolio. So at the end of the day, if you look at the $300,000, 20% of the portfolio will be in equities. So what happens is your mother is going to walk out of that building, our beautiful office, and look at you and say, what do you think, John? And your mother's going to continue to point to you throughout the whole investment process. Yeah. And the question you ask yourself is it going to change anything? Well, it could. If we get into a hyperinflation environment, it would actually some downside protection. Do you want to spend that time and energy with your mother in order to get that higher yield out of there? Do you think it's worth it? Is it going to make her nervous? Is it going to make you nervous? Right. But I don't think there's anything wrong with actually taking $100,000 of that and making it more aggressive. I know if it was my mother.
It's got about $1 million. Here's how it's got about $1 million, about $700,000 in real estate, about $300,000 in a guaranteed income.
And I'd take 100, maybe even 150,000 when you think about it like that, Scott, and invest it and just tell mom, look at this is going to go up.
How much
is going to go down?
Is she taking income now from her IRA?
You know what? My father passed away about 5 years ago, and the last 2 years, she's taking 8,000 each year. Out.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, here's what you could do. You could say, look, we're going to take $8,000 a year out of this fixed annuity. Mom, it's going to last you 14 years or whatever the number is when you so these other dollars we don't have to worry what the value is tomorrow or next year. All we care about is the value 14 years from now.
I'd go with that.
She can get comfortable with that, then there's no reason whatsoever why you shouldn't have some portion invested for the long term. I think we're much closer to the top than we are to the bottom,
which makes it a little bit more difficult,
but it's hard. No one can predict, you know, who knows when this thing's gonna want to take another breather.
So I would actually look at that, John. Yeah. I would take 100 or 150,000 and invest it.
I respect your advice, and I liked what you guys said, because that's pretty much what my thought process was. And I, you know, obviously no one can predict the future, but, you know, like I said, if I explained to her the longer time horizon she has out there, the safer, if that's the word.
That's a great way to look at it, John. That's a great way to look at it. It's because investments come down in large part to how much time we have to let them do what they need to do. So greatly appreciate the call.
And John, you have a good understanding of this.
Hey, real quick, I want to annuities. You hear us talk negatively about annuities. These annuities were purchased probably a decade ago.
And when the yields, when the fixed income were much, much higher, actually.
Yes.
Had they bought bonds rather than annuities, they'd be in a better situation.
That's true as well. Yes, they still would have been better off.
Right. Right.
Okay, fair enough. They still would have been better off. That's why we weren't recommending fixed annuities back then either. But sometimes when you own a product, even if it's not be good to buy, if you already own it, there are times when it makes sense to keep it. And a fixed annuity that's paying a guaranteed 3% is one of those. Hey, real quick, we've got just a reminder. This last week we had workshops, our retirement transition workshops throughout the Sacramento region. Actually, I have one here in just a few minutes. But we've got throughout the Bay Area and Denver this next week. To learn more about them, you'll want to come because they're really informative. HansonMcLean.com. Go to HansonMcLean.com and you'll get some information about those workshops and learn how to sign up. We're going to take a quick break. Stick with us as we continue back with Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Wondering if you're on track with your financial matters? Call 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Scott Hanson here with you.
Pat McLean.
Glad you're with us on, what is the last Saturday of the month here in January? Already kicked. How is everyone doing on their New Year's resolutions, your savings goals, your weight loss goals, quit smoking goals, stop drinking goals? What are the primary goals that people have?
Read more. Be nicer. That's always my goal. Every year.
Be nicer.
Haven't you been able
to have it listed? Resolution. Number one, be nicer.
Haven't you noticed how much nicer I am right around the first of the year? That's the people I work with.
It always
with.
Depends what kind.
That's all the people in the booth. Am I nicer?
So am I nice? He's yelling at him.
Damn it. Tell me I'm nice.
Anyway, I know for many of us, the financial aspect is part of our, it's always one of the top three if we look at.
How to manage money?
Yeah. No, if some financial goal people have for themselves for the year.
Yeah, it's either spend less.
Spend less, increase your savings, get out of debt, et cetera. So.
That is insidious. That is an insidious.
Debt, you said.
Debt, not debt.
I thought you said
debt.
That. Debt.
D-E-B-T is insidious because it's so easy to borrow money for anything. And oftentimes, the easier to borrow the money and the more you need to borrow, which means that you don't have good credit, that the more expensive it becomes. And the more expensive it becomes, the bigger the hole you're digging. Look at student loans. And sometimes it has nothing to do with what the...
Oh, student loans, it's a crime the way the government has guaranteed these loans without any...
Like, what major do you want? Oh, there hasn't been a market in that for 50 years, but I'll go ahead and pay for it.
I was at the gym this last week, and there's a young guy working at the counter, and he also worked at Pinkberry.
Which is a yogurt shop.
Yes. So I recognize the guy, so I'm chatting with him. And
a little too tart for me.
He said, oh, I quit the Pinkberry, now I'm just here full. I said, oh, you're here full time? And I was actually kind of wondering, because he's a young man, he seems sharp. I'm thinking, is this your kind of career choice, working at the... And then he said, oh, but no, I'm also a full-time student. I said, where are you going? He says, the local junior college. And when he said it, he almost was apologetic about it. And I said, well, good for you. And I said, hey, just to let you know, I said, I went to a junior college before I transferred, worked my way through just like you're doing. I said, frankly, I think you're wise in taking this route. If you don't have the money to go away to some four-year university.
Well, even if you do.
Well, maybe.
Sometimes it makes a lot of sense. To go to a junior college. It's the cost of education. Actually, so I had this conversation with my 17-year-old this last week. We said, you know, with the advent of online education, you know, you could actually go to a four-year college and graduate in 2 or 3 years.
I couldn't.
Your daughter took...
No, she takes the hard classes online so she can get an easy pass.
Oh, that's expert smart, too.
That's all she does. No, but I mean, there's certain... I think we have a long way to go still with the online environment to make it more community, because I know personally, if I'm alone too long, I start to pull what... I had a good head of hair, but I go a little nuts by myself. Yeah. So I could not take a four-year university by just staring at a screen. I couldn't.
The point being, though, is this started as debt, but the conversation about debt, but student loans.
But you see,
are.
Not only kids going into debt, you see
parents are going into debt to pay for their
kids.
Yes,
and you see people at retirement age, even grandparents that are on the hook for their grandkids' education costs.
Yeah.
And it's impacting retirement. Anyway, 1-888-2-HANSON. If you've got a question for us, love to take your call. 1-888-2-HANSON.
And Scott, let's not forget to talk a little bit more in depth about our workshops, our educational retirement planning.
This coming
workshops.
Week in Denver and
but
the Bay
Area. Spend a couple minutes on them because we just blew through it last time. Let's talk a little bit about why you want to come and what you're going to learn there.
All right. Right now, let's go to Nevada and talk with John. John, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hi. I love listening to you guys, and thank you for taking the call.
Thank you, John. Where are you located in the beautiful state of Nevada, our silver state?
I'm Carson Valley, just across the border
there
from
you
California.
Go. Yeah. Beautiful Carson Valley.
Pat keeps talking about, one day I'm leaving California.
No, I do.
I'm going to Nevada.
Actually, the Carson Valley is in the backside of the...
51% of the year in Nevada, and life is good.
Carson Valley is in the backside of the mountain range, the Sierras. It's actually in a rain shadow.
All right,
that's
John.
Correct. That's
what can we do correct. For you?
Well, I'm thinking about changing my 401k IRA withdrawal strategy, given the new tax laws. And I've been taking out so that my modified adjusted income stays just below $214,000. But I'm thinking about taking it up to where it would be just below $320,000. You know, hence I'd be increasing my withdrawals by about $106,000.
Uh-huh.
And I'm currently taking out about $100,000.
How big is the IRA?
IRA and 401k is about $1.8 million.
Okay.
And it's conservatively invested.
All right. Are you doing a Roth conversion or just taking the money out?
I would try to move most of it into a Roth.
Okay. All right. Good. Because I'm thinking, unless you just plan on spending it, you don't want
anything above the required minimum distribution, you would want to convert to a Roth.
Exactly. And my kids' heirs are in California, and they have no plans to come over to Nevada.
All right. Well, that makes sense. Scott, do you want to explain why that makes sense to the rest of the listeners, why you would take and pay these dollars in a zero
tax? Yeah, because your tax on your withdrawal, where you reside, not where the money was earned. So
you pull it out and convert it to a Roth, and you've only pay federal income taxes on it. And then because it's a Roth, when you die, your kids inherit something that they don't have to.
Although it certainly wouldn't surprise me if one day the California legislator said, you know, I think any Roth withdrawal over some dollar amount should be subject to California state income tax for the opportunity to live in such a fantastic state as California.
That wouldn't surprise me either.
So okay. Here's the things I think you need to consider. One is what's this going to do to your Medicare? How old are you?
69.
So you have Medicare Part B, and the premiums just got a little worse, too, under the new tax law. When your income exceeds a couple hundred thousand, $190,000 or something like that, your Medicare Part B.
Yeah, that's why I'm staying below 214, because when I stay below 214, the Medicare... is about $4,500 for myself and my wife. If we stay below $320,000, it's about $6,400.
Yeah, so cut down to $2,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I would take my eye off that. I would think about the taxation of the heirs when you die.
Yeah.
If they plan on staying in the state of California.
Are you spending it? I assume you've got quite a bit of other assets and income outside of your retirement accounts.
That's correct.
And you're not spending these dollars, and you probably won't spend these dollars.
Well, the $106,000, what I'm thinking of doing is moving it in the fourth quarter. I'll have to take minimum required distributions, take it in like January 1st, and use that money to send off a payment to the federal government on January 15th. So that all of the 106 will end up in a.
So law. Here's the thing. I certainly, I mean, I love the way you're thinking, right? Because this is just beautiful planning. We're the first month in January of this new tax bill. So I don't even, there's probably not even a lot of good software programs that are.
But there will be by the end of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I would kind of just hang tight for a bit, but I would certainly plan on, and what you're already looking at, is converting as much as you can
to that Roth, particularly if the thought is that these at least some portion of these dollars are going to be transferred to a child who's going to be in a higher tax state where Nevada has zero tax. I think this is exactly the right way to look at it.
And Scott,
and just look at the Medicare Part B, that increase, that's just a tax.
That's correct, correct. And the savings on your California state income tax for your heirs, it would be massive. I'd pay more on the Medicare Part B in order to send those dollars downstream free of tax.
But what it means is actually it's about a 2% tax on the next 100 grand of income, isn't it?
Versus 13%.
No, I understand that.
Right, yeah. Depending upon what your income. Just out of curiosity, John, I'm always curious when I talk to someone like yourself, what did you do for a living when you were in the workforce?
I worked for a utility, and I did a lot of financial analysis.
Were you an engineer by education or an analyst?
I have a bachelor's of science in engineering and an MBA.
Yeah, I knew it. It's easy to tell.
I know.
Here it's
January. He's already got his financial thing planned for the year.
I know. He just finished his analysis whether to switch from conventional light bulbs to LEDs.
Hey, John, I think you're on the right track. Appreciate the call. You know what's interesting, Pat? We've seen people like John who become financial advisors at a later stage in life.
Yes.
Some of them really enjoy it, and they can be really good at it. Some find that when you start counseling somebody else, it's a whole different, it's much different than just doing the analysis.
Yeah, actually, but financial advisors that are deeply, deeply, deeply have a really super high skill set in analysis, but don't communicate super well. The problem with it is the analysis makes so much sense to them, they get mad when the people don't actually take their advice.
Well, and if you think about it, oftentimes people don't take 100% of the advice. I don't take 100% of the advice from my doctor because I couldn't enjoy eating again. Or, you know what I mean?
Actually,
well,
that's why my doctor weighs 300 pounds and smokes. I'm fine. The advice.
Did you come in? Pat, would you like a drink? We've got a tap here.
I'm fine. If you get a doctor that's
in poor
health.
We have a smoking lounge in the back if you'd like.
You get a doctor that's in poor health, they really don't tell you what to do.
All right. 1-888-2 This is a financial program. Hanson McLean's Money Matters. 1-888-2-HANSON to join the program.
I went to see a doctor with a knee issue. He told me to lose weight. I said, no, I'm not even 10 pounds overweight.
I've been a runner for 30 years, and this was 20 years ago. He was a retired physician, was in, and he was asking me, runner, Scott, I can't tell you how many bad knees I've seen over my career. Oh, just the knee. What? And as we're talking, I asked him what kind of medicine he practiced. He said he was a proctologist. And I'm thinking, what experience do you have with runners and knees? If you want to talk about something else, that's fine.
Okay.
All right, 1-888-2 I don't know how we came up with a proctologist during a financial program, but there you go.
There you go.
Anything
is bound to happen.
Anything. Let's talk to Joe in Northern California. Joe, you're with Hanson McLean.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, thanks, Joe.
I appreciate your program. I'm calling today because I'm trying to figure out a way for my wife to put some money away in retirement. She'll be 62 later on this year. She's worked as a nurse in many different places, you know, and so she's got fragmented retirement 401s and that. But now she's working at a medical office where they don't have anything like that. I'm retired, and so I'm looking while she's working for some way for her to be able to take some money and put it away that would benefit us in reducing our yearly income for a while.
And what's your family income right now?
It's about $100,000.
Well, I mean, one thing easy is just to do an IRA
for the both of you.
And
$13,000 a year between
that?
Them. Now you could do it almost anywhere. So you could open up an investment firm, an IRA for yourself and an IRA for her, and you would make them deductible IRAs and you would make contributions. And depending upon your risk tolerance, that's how the investments would go. But here's what I actually would do. So you had said something that was kind of curious to me. You said that she had these 401, these retirement plans from previous employers. My guess is that they're probably still at the previous employers. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So you've got little bits of assets scattered all over the place, right? So she worked, and it's not unusual that she had a 403B, which is a tax-sheltered annuity, a 401K, which is exactly what it sounds like, and maybe even a 457 somewhere. I would go see a financial advisor. I would...
Some fee-based advisor, so they're not going to sell you some annuity or something.
Yeah, I would
don't buy an annuity.
And I would do, at the minimum, some basic financial planning. Because...
To see what how much should be saved.
And whether you need to save it at all, or whether it actually makes things worse for you rather than better. Because if you have a tax savings today, that might be good. But if in 3 years or 4 years it actually increases the tax you're paying on the distribution, maybe not so much. So you asked, how do I lower my taxable income?
Which you could save $6,500 a year for her IRA and $6,500 a year for your IRA.
But it may make sense for you to actually put money into a Roth IRA, which actually you pay the taxes that goes in, it grows tax deferred, it comes out tax free. My guess is it's probably a deductible IRA, but I would actually go and pick all those pieces up and I'd put them in a single account.
She's 62. When do we look at Social Security?
When do we take that? I'd put them in a single account, and then I would actually take that account. And I would put her more money in there. You probably have a 401k from somewhere, correct?
Yes.
Okay, I would look at that as well. So we're going to mail you a book called Decision Points. And it actually talks about financial planning for retirement. You've been accumulating. There needs to be a plan around the accumulation. Did you retire from a state or a municipality?
Public safety.
Okay.
Public safety officer, yeah.
All right. So you've got a great pension in the state of California. How many years did you put in?
34.
Okay. Yeah, so you've got a great pension.
Yep.
You've got a great pension for yourself. You need to take that all into account. So we're going to mail you a book, and then we're going to actually, we'll send you an invite to one of our 7 personal decision points live workshops. And we'll actually, we designed this program for people just like yourself. It is the 7 questions you need to ask yourself and answer for a comfortable retirement. And my guess is that you're fine. My guess is that your retirement, even if you did nothing, was probably going to be fine just based on the pension you have. But
we still need to look at...
You still need to make sure...
How much we're going to save? How do we view the Social Security?
Should we be gifting money to our children or grandchildren? Should I be funding 529s?
You know, what's the survivor benefit on that pension, and what's that impact there? What's the home mortgage look like? All those things.
But you can absolutely make IRA contributions.
$6,500 is someone age 50 and older. And by the way, Pat, we have our learning library at HansMcLane.com. We've revised that recently. We've got some online tutorials, and sometimes people will contact us and say, you know, I'm just not the kind of person who likes going to a workshop. I'm not quite ready to come in and see an advisor. Still not quite comfortable there. We've got some great online tutorials. We have one on that whole retirement transition, our 7 personal decision points for retirement transition online tutorial, and we have an online tutorial for Social Security. So, something to consider when you're at kind of that stage at thehansomemcLane.com.
Or you could attend a live workshop.
Yeah, absolutely. But he's in Sacramento, and I'm assuming he didn't come to the workshops this last week, which is why I was bringing up.
We'll probably have another one at some point.
I think we might.
They're actually, you know, we started doing these things years ago, and they actually fill up.
You know, it's amazing. So, real quick side note. Pat and I have been doing workshops since 1991. All right, so
yeah,
educational workshops
for the general public, for large corporations,
educational retirement workshops since 1991, and then for years at Hanson McLean we would have workshops. We did a monthly. We've done a bunch of stuff, and then I think for a while we kind of quit doing it. And maybe it was when we were doing more with our website, and we just thought, oh, maybe people don't need the workshops anymore. But I think there's something about when you go to a live event around other people, you have a chance to ask questions. Oftentimes, what we found is that there are questions that arise that people never thought about, right? You just don't, because you don't know what you don't know. And so you come to a live event. So we start having these workshops again, our retirement transition workshop, our 7 personal decision point for retirement transition workshop.
Social Security workshops that almost, it's...
If those have done a good job saving, how do you coordinate your Social Security with the other assets? That workshop and some other workshop. And our registration numbers each year keep going up. So we keep having more of them because... I guess people enjoy them. We had good,
yeah,
a lot of showing this last week in the Sacramento ones. And
so we have some in Denver the week of the 29th. And
it's this coming week.
This week. And we have them in the Bay Area in San Jose, Pleasanton.
Yeah, the Denver region on Wednesday night in Cherry Creek, on Thursday night in Broomfield, and Saturday at late morning in Highlands Ranch. And also the same week, San Jose on Tuesday, Pleasanton Wednesday, Danville Saturday. For complete details and to register, you have to register because some of them fill up. HansomMcLean.com. Yeah, we'll get you all the information there. So there's a little transition to plug. And it wasn't intended to that. But I think it was based on the last caller that with our financial life, we tend to have all these different pieces. And it's much more complex today than it used to be.
Yes.
Because there's all these different vehicles and products and how do you put it all together? And the tax laws always changing. And then you've got Social Security and Medicare. We had a call earlier that the higher your income, the more Medicare Part B. So it's kind of a stealth tax you don't see. How do you coordinate all this stuff together? It's just not as easy as it used to be. I guess that's why our team of financial advisors remain somewhat busy. But, you know. Anyway.
I like the word stealth tax. Did you make that up?
No, I didn't make that up. I think I must have read it somewhere.
It's actually a pretty good word.
Stealth? Depends.
I guess it's whether you're on the giving and the receiving end of the stealth.
If you're the bomber coming in,
it's a good word.
Good, yeah.
But if you're on the receiving end of the stealth,
you don't know it's about to hit you.
Like the tax, the stealth tax.
Well, that's true.
Yeah,
that's why it's a stealth tax.
Yeah, the receiving end.
Well, frankly, it's one of those that
you normally don't know it until you pay it.
You would not see it in the normal tax code. You read the articles, you look at the tax, you would not see it.
The taxation of Medicare Part B based on your
income. All right, 1-888-2-HANSEN to join our program. We're in Davis, California with Carla. Carla, you're with Hanson McLean.
Thanks for taking my call. Yeah. I always enjoy your program.
Thank you.
And today I have a question regarding when to annuitize a variable annuity that I purchased in 2003.
Okay.
All right.
I'm 74. And the annuity has a guaranteed minimum income base rider that compounds at a guaranteed 6% annually until I'm 81.
Okay.
The rider must be exercised by 85 or the income base is lost.
Uh-huh.
And if I annuitize after that, then up until age 90, it will only be on the account value.
And how old did you say you were?
74.
Okay, and so you have till 85. What's the value? First of all, what's the name of the company that the annuity is issued by?
So I purchased it from MetLife,
okay,
and it's now Bright House.
Yeah. Okay.
And what's the account value?
So the account value is $203,400.
And what's the guaranteed minimum income benefit?
The income benefit currently is $247,950. So it probably will be over $300,000 by I'm 81.
Are you taking the 6% distribution right now?
No. It's compounds.
Do you need the money?
I do not need the money.
Well, I would take it anyway.
And not necessarily if she doesn't need the money.
My initial thought was to wait until I'm 85 to annuitize so I don't lose out on the income base. But now I'm thinking maybe I should take it at 81. Because the annual fee continues until annuitization, even after the compounding stops.
And how's it allocated, this portfolio?
It's
I think they have some limits usually.
This is 2003, though.
It's the balanced.
Yeah, I think they
plus
still
portfolio.
They're really good products. We hate annuities by and large, but back in the late 90s and the early 2000s, there were some products that were frankly mispriced by the insurance industry.
Is the insurance company offered to buy this back from you at a premium?
No, they haven't. I have another annuity with Vanguard that I assumed when my husband died. And I talked to them a year or so ago regarding rolling this particular MetLife one over to the one that I have at Vanguard. And they said that they weren't able to match the benefits
good for them.
That I would
That's
get.
That's right. Even though their fees are high, it's because you have true insurance.
Yeah. What happened when they issued these, they mispriced them. What would be the downside, Scott, of starting the 6% distribution?
What money do you have in savings?
So I have total investment assets of $2.1 million. 1.5 is in Vanguard accounts, including an IRA. of $480,000, and then the trust account there is in stock funds, and that's $830,000.
And where's your income coming from that you live off?
And so I have two pensions from my husband that come to $4,300 a month, and Social Security is $2,700, so it's about $7,000 a month, which I'm not needing all of it.
Mm-hmm. I would not take distributions from this. I'd let it continue to go till age 81, and then... Yeah. I'm not 100% sure I'd annuitize it or not.
Yep, I'd look at it again at 81, okay. But I wouldn't make it. I wouldn't do anything until then.
No, that was not my plan.
But I think when we get at age 80, let's kind of step back and say, all right, how's our health? What's our longevity look like? What's our the family? Assuming we're not going to spend your $2 million in your lifetime, where's this going to go? And go through all that list, and then look at, all right, what do I do with this particular asset?
Okay.
But I wouldn't do anything today. No, I wouldn't
do anything
today.
You've got 6 years to make
compound.
Yeah, you've got 6 years to make a decision on this.
Right. Very good.
Wouldn't worry about it. And I quite frankly, if you're comfortable, I'd try to start spending more money if I would.
I know.
If you're comfortable doing that, do you have children and grandchildren?
Stepchildren and grandchildren, and they're taken care of in my trust out of the trust account that is with Vanguard.
So here's what I hear from parents is all the time is they'd like to spend some more time with their children and grandchildren. And I say, if you want them to spend time, just next time tell them you'll meet them in Hawaii and you pick up the tab and they will show up. You know how they're all so busy all the time?
The
they're all so busy?
Yeah. All right, Carla. Yeah, obviously you're in great shape financially and I would not worry about this. I would set this aside and reconsider it in the future. So.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah, glad you called, Carla. And it's interesting, Pat. Here's somebody... 74 has more assets than she's going to be spending, right?
Yes.
There are some people that we've seen that have chosen to maybe give to a particular charity that's near to them that they really hadn't before because they didn't really feel that they had planned. It's planned at their death, but they say, maybe I have enough now. Maybe what if I gave a little today or gave some to my grandkids today? And not saying that's what, everyone needs to be.
But you certainly should have the conversation with your advisor.
But we've seen people actually get some great satisfaction out of doing it while they're still living instead of just waiting until they pass on. Yeah. So, unfortunately.
And some with great regret as well.
Well, it's kind of nice to see how the kids and the grandkids are going to spend the money, isn't it?
Yes.
We're out of time. You've been listening to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Have a great rest of your weekend.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McLean Advisors, a registered investment advisory firm. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific financial advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor, tax consultant, or estate planning attorney to conduct your own due diligence.